Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com. Big hits, big laughs, no fail. My fortune is chaos here. Nick and Ronnie, make it liquor,
yeah. How's it? Welcome back for another episode. You're here with me, Nick, and I'm joined by my buddy Ronald. How's it going there, John?
It's cold. It's snowing at the moment. As we speak, there is literal snow falling outside my window.
No, cuck story, man. It's only November.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. So it's really cold there, hey, Ronnie. You should have taken more punted hoodies with you to keep you warm. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
But that is for damn sure. Did you see you got outvoted that everyone liked the AI intro to the podcast episode?
That's impossible. You would have shared with me the results had something like that actually come in.
It's true. Go and have a look on Spotify. You can see the results on the poll there. Thank you to everyone that voted. I'm going to run the vote again this week so we can test it out on the bigger pool. But yeah, so far, Ronnie, it seems like it's going to be sticking around. You know, me and my band.
It's a bad intro, but who am I to say?
Yeah, so are you still grafting away there in Germany on Sundays?
Mm-hmm, very much, every day. Haven't had a break in a long time.
Did you watch the game on the big screen in the lab again this weekend?
No, it was because of all the snow that could fall at any moment. I figured best to get home before it's too late. So I was in bed, warm, heater on, tablet with a game in front of me.
There we go. At least you were comfortable. I was down in Jeffreys Bay this weekend. It's first time down there. What a lack of space. But Ronnie, I took the Helios Fire with me. I popped it in its bag, chucked it in the car, and I drove it down there with me. Do you know how lacquer it was to have a fireplace like that by the ocean where you've got this wind, but because it's in the barrel like that, it's not blowing sparks at you or smoke. And we had such a lack of time sitting around the fire there.
So you're this guy that now carries his braai around with him wherever he goes.
Well, yes, fortunately, I am that guy. I can bring it with me. I do need a chorm to help me carry it out the car, though. It is a tad heavy. But yeah, it's easy to carry around.
Fair enough.
That being said, there's a lack of sticker there in Jeffreys Bay. There is a sticker now. But there's a big signboard in Jeffreys Bay that says Humans Dorp or Port Elizabeth. And when I was leaving today, I saw everyone's put these stickers up on the thing there. So I was like, well, this is the perfect spot for a lacquer big May Fokchorm sticker. So if any of our listeners are in Jeffreys Bay and you know which sign I'm talking about, send us a photo of you with our May Fokchorm sticker and Ronnie will send you a hoodie or a shirt or a cap. You can choose.
Fair enough. I'll send you whatever you want. But speaking of things we send to people, patrons, Yuster, Fernando Langert, Ian Weir, Amanda Geringer, Andre Meads, Kyle Preston, and Leroy Daisel. Lekker, folks. I hope every single one of them has asked for at least two items, whether it's a hoodie or a t-shirt, or like you, what did you mention there? A cap. Or you can brand a cutting board for them.
You know, I'm pretty sure Fernando, Ian, and Yuster got shortchanged by you, Ronnie, because when they joined us as patrons, you weren't telling me to give away t-shirts.
I definitely told them. I said, if they just message you, give away free stuff. I've been giving away free stuff almost every episode.
That's damn true. But yeah, thank you to our patrons. You guys are helping us keep the show going for the full 80, and we really, really appreciate you guys. Ronnie, let's get then onto the Autumn Nation Series, round 4 this weekend. Our Super Brew Lager is shaping up for a final fixture next weekend.
Yeah, so the round's not done. though, right? So next weekend's game is still included in the current, I suppose, round, right? So points will be finalized then. But for the time being, the interim points are in fifth place. We have The Rock on 35.5, Michael K, 35.75, The Chef on 36 points, and also Fariza Jolly Goodfellow, 36, and then Rian, right up at the top, 37.25 points.
Yeah, well done, Rian. You are currently leading that pool. It's going to be a tight race going into the last week. There's one game left, so someone's going to have to get it spot on to move up the log there and overtake Rian. Hey, Ronald.
That's right, and I know you have to do the same.
Yeah, you're behind me on the log, so I just have to fend you off. It's a little bit different. But yeah, the game that cost me potentially this weekend, Georgia 23-25 Japan. I'm one of the few that backed Georgia in this one, and I'm actually really surprised that it was few of us that did.
Yeah, look, it was bound to happen for the for Japan. They've had a couple of tough fixtures, and I'm sure Eddie's, you know, used a couple of choice words there and fired them up in both English and in Japanese, I'm sure. So eventually, I thought it would stick, and you know, they got a good result against what was a strong Georgian side.
Yeah, then Romania, they went down at home 21-31 against Uruguay. Ronnie, and then Wales 26-52 All Blacks. I think you and me have to bow our heads a little bit in this one. My super pick was All Blacks by 52. And then I look in the pool and who's gone bigger than me as well? Ronald over there with 55 points. Yes, we thought there was a hammering on the cards here.
Yeah, but look, this is a difficult one, right? And then I suppose this is the theme, right? When you are actually playing a weakened opposition, supposedly, you might lose patience, get a little desperate, and it might not stick as well as you were hoping for. So, yeah, Wales, they played a respectable game. And I think it was a good performance for them.
Yeah, that first half from the Welsh side really impressed me. They were having none of this, the All Blacks are going to bully us or anything like that. Tom Rogers scoring a hat-trick, that was incredibly impressive. But yeah, I must admit I'd heavily underrated Wales going into this fixture, even with the All Blacks naming a much-changed side. And I thought it was going to be much more of a runaway. D-Mac, though, making a huge impact again. His boot, he got all seven conversions over of the seven tries, but also keeping the points on penalties when the Welsh were still in it. And that pressure really helped them crack the Welsh down.
Yeah, exactly that. So a couple of players putting their hands up for the All Blacks, right? You've mentioned D-Mac there. We mentioned him a couple of weeks ago as well. It's a player that we've always liked to keep an eye on. We both rate him very much. And then you've mentioned one or two additional players there that, you know, it's difficult when you play against the side. I think at the time they rated 12th, they're now rated 11th, Wales. But yeah, it's a difficult fixture. It's supposedly a weakened opposition. And how do you perform well against that?
No, absolutely, Ronnie. You know, it's a tough one to call. And like I said, New Zealand did have a lot of changes in their side as well. But I think what Wales did here, they weren't exceptional. Maybe Tom Rogers played a bit above average for everyone else. But the Welsh team as a whole played it like a six in this game. They got through it. They did very well. So that's a good base. If they can now build on that and say, you know what, next week, we're all going to play at a seven and we're going to push for that and slowly start to rebuild themselves up as a force in world rugby, that would be fantastic to see.
You know, the one player I enjoyed seeing back and scored a brilliant try, Louis Rees-Sammet. I'm not sure if you saw that try. That was a fantastic try. We saw a similar try in our game against Ireland. But it was nice to see Louis Rees-Sammet playing a real sport again.
Yeah, that was actually excellent to see. You're absolutely right, Ronnie. And then, has this made you rethink Wales as opponents for this weekend coming?
I suppose you could say yes, but the impatience showed by the Springboks in the game against Ireland, I thought that's definitely that, together with Wales' performance against the All Blacks. It's made next week's game a little bit of a unknown for me.
Let's then take a look at Portugal, 33-27 win over Canada. That should be a surprise, but it's not on the back of how Canada's been performing lately.
Yeah, and Portugal's good to see a win from them. Look, they put their hands up in the World Cup. It's a shame Canada hasn't qualified for the next one. But yeah, nice to see Portugal doing, you know, a good commanding win. Sometimes watching these sort of, if you could say, tier two nations playing rugby, it's incredibly good. It's very exciting. We know that the top try for the try of the year came from Portugal, a team try from Portugal earlier in the year. So if you watch these sort of games like Portugal versus Canada, very exciting for a neutral.
Then Spain at home, they got a 33-41 point loss to the Flying Fijians. I'm a little bit surprised that Spain managed to score that many points because Fiji's not been bad of late.
Absolutely. But, you know, this is definitely the sign of a attack-centric team like Fiji usually is. When it comes, they make a couple of errors. Ill-discipline creeps in. Defensively, they're not as well structured, and then they let the opposition scoot through and leak some points. So that's just what happens there. But they were still able to score a lot of points themselves, 41 points, in fact. So good on them.
Ronnie, then over to the game that we really want to be chatting about. I think I'm still sitting here trying to figure out who's on the field, who's off the field, who's got a card, who's not got a card. But a 13-point loss to 24 to the Boks, the Irish suffered at home. The first time we've won in Dublin since 2012, Ronald.
Yeah, that's a very long time. First time for Rusty doing it over there as well. So we saw some of the relief in his face. I think some of the celebrations at the end there, it was nice to see. I think Ireland did themselves a disservice with the way that they played.
Yeah, I think we're going to get onto the card shortly because there's so much to talk about there. But first up, big shout out to the Viking, Arthur Sneyman. He got his 50th test this week. It's crazy to think that he's on 50 now when you remember he didn't play from the World Cup final in 2019 until he played in the URC final stages in 2023 to qualify to play for the World Cup again. So he reached 50 of pretty much 4 years out of game.
Yeah, he's been very unlucky with a lot of injuries, right? So a lot of the Munster fans will know what I'm talking about here, what we're talking about. And still, to get 50, fantastic. Imagine how experienced he would have been now if he hadn't been injured for so long.
Yeah, he would be heavily, heavily capped. The major influence on our bomb squad out here, Sneyman. So well done to the big man. Ronnie, 4 tries to 1 in this game. Damien Willemse opened it with an epic try that was honestly so lacquer. Down the wing, jumping into the air to dot it down with one hand. Expect nothing less from that fullback of ours, eh?
Yeah, for sure. So I actually thought that there was a forward pass leading into that. But yeah, in the end, sometimes you get the rub of the green, the bounce of the ball, whatever you want to say. But Damien Willemse, a great try, very athletic. Like I said, it reminded me of that try that Louis Riesam had scored against the All Blacks in a prior game. So yeah, fantastic to see that from Damien Willemse. So he's playing really, really well, and I'm trusting him as our go-to fullback at the moment.
Yeah, he's honestly proving anyone that had any doubts wrong. I've really enjoyed watching Damien there in the 15 jersey since he's come back to form from injury for sure. Ronnie, we could talk about all the tries in this game. There were 4 tries from the Springboks to the one of Ireland. I think the main thing we want to chat about is the discipline on the field, the scrums, and what went down there. It was honestly unreal. 6 cards in this one, Ronnie. 5 yellow cards, 4 of those to the Irish, 1 to Grant Williams from us, and then a red card, yellow card upgraded to a red. Where do we begin, Ronnie? What card did you agree with? Did you not agree with?
I don't actually know where to start. I've never seen so many cards in one go. I think for me, one of the questions, and I was watching the German stream with German commentators, and they were talking about the minimum number of players you can have on the field for the game to be allowed to continue. One of them actually said that they think it's 11. And it got me wondering as well what the law is. So maybe we can figure that one out and make a post of that. But I've never seen so many players off, really. I think they were down to 12. It was for a small time when they were back up to 13 again. But considering how many players they had off the field, I thought they played very well, considering how many players they had off the field.
Yeah, I think as much stick as we give the Irish, especially on the socials, I love to poke a bit of fun at them. It really is more a sign of respect than anything else, because this is a rivalry that has built up so much. So I have to give them credit, Ronnie. Their defense was incredible. The fact that they could be at some stages three players down, only 12 guys left on the pitch, and not leak a try is unbelievable. That is honestly the makings of one of the top sides in world rugby.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can just do that. I mean, Pundi Aki was on the side of the scrum. They had both their playmakers off the field. They were running out of Prendergasts. And then obviously South Africa going for the scrum after scrum after scrum, and their props under a huge amount of pressure with the risk of being sent off themselves. And I at one stage, I actually felt sorry for them. And I thought, geez, South Africa really turning the screws on this one. But ultimately, I felt that South Africa should have capitalized more, which they didn't.
Yeah, we, like you say, we kept going for the scrums because we had them under the cosh there. We did get two of their props yellow carded for infringements at the scrums. But yeah, maybe at some point we should have decided, okay, we've got the pressure on, we can get this pressure on again, but let's take the three and come back. Build a different kind of pressure over them as well. You know, the scoreboard ticking, your scrum being demolished like that, then you're really going to start thinking, you know, this game's going to break open at any point.
But that's the point, right? So I felt that the Boks were impatient. The Boks tried so desperately to get the ball wide and to get it out to a pace man like Jason Colby out wide and have him do something crazy, that they kept making mistakes. They kept fumbling the ball. They kept, you know, they weren't focused. That's the sort of desperation that they had, the impatience that I think, you know, you often feel against. I'm not saying Ireland is a weakened side, but this is what the Springboks need to take care of when they go and play what is supposedly a weaker Welsh side next week, right? To stay focused, to stay calm, to go back to the basics, right? If we had played just standard 10-man rugby and punished them with more and more set pieces and putting the ball in the right places and just staying calm, we would have done way better and capitalized way more on our numerical advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. We needed to show a bit of patience there.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
But I think we were very hyped up for this game against the Irish. Then how about with Archia? Archia getting carded for repeated infringements, but then the ref taking it away and Archia's back on the field. It really was confusing at times to know who was who and what was going on.
To be honest with you, I thought that that was a strange one. I thought if there's foul play, irrespective of whether it happens before or after a whistle, you know that the foul play stands and the player will continue to be sent off. I think the only reason he was called back was because it was a repeated infringement card. But had he done, you know, what was considered foul play, he would have remained off. It was a difficult one for me to understand. There was also a call later on or earlier on in the game with their having just suffered how many cards. They gave away repeated penalties and we got a penalty try, right? And typically when you see a penalty try, you see another yellow card. And I think my understanding is the ref just using their some common sense there to say, listen, this would be ridiculous to continue yellow carding these players for going back like this.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a confusing one. But yeah, with Archia, he was pinged for repeated infringements, but his was being offsides. And you couldn't be offsides if there was an infringement before in the ruck. So that's what got Archia luckily back on the pitch there. But it was hellishly confusing to watch what was going on in that. Then you also had Johan Krobelaar coming on. It looked like Malcolm went off injured. Then suddenly Malcolm's back on in the 77th minute because it was for blood. It was very, very hard to keep track of everything there, Ronnie. Ireland at one point reduced to 12 players on the pitch. They had three guys off the field. And with that, Ronnie, we still only managed five line breaks to their three in this game.
Yeah, and then that's exactly the point that I was making. We were impatient. We were desperate. We rushed things. We thought, hell, we need to get this ball out wide. We need to do something crazy. Rather than just play our normal game, had we just played our normal game, you know, be that whatever plan A or plan B, rather than this completely... this plan that we had never planned for, plan F, in my opinion, and try to execute this thing that we've never done before, it would have just worked had we remained structured.
Ronnie, what about Sasha? Should Sasha have gotten a red card or a yellow?
Yeah, I actually believe Sasha should have probably got not a full red. I would argue a bunker review yellow at the very least and let the TMO decide what would have happened with that. I don't know. For me, it's all over the place. I think in this day and age, you look at a card, you're completely surprised when it is a card. You're completely surprised when it isn't a card. It's very confusing. There used to be a time where I used to see something happen and know immediately that was going to be a card or not. And that's not the case anymore. There were anomalies, sure, back in the day, but few and far between. And these days, it seems the anomaly is the norm.
Yeah, there's certainly too much room for debate around these cards and what's going on, because one person says penalty, the next is a card, then the TMO says, no, it's a yellow card, come for a review. It's very hard for the normal fan to follow and know what's going on in those moments. And that makes the sport less attractive. You know, there's this push now for a 20-minute red card, so you've got 15 players on the field, but then we're also giving away a lot of soft cards. However, I think Sasha should have had a card. I must say it. That was a no.
Bunker review.
Yeah, bunker.
Bunker review. Look, it's definitely a very dynamic situation, right? There's players being tackled, players going down. It's running at an angle, but I agree. That shoulder, let me put it this way, that was more illegal than what I felt Luit also did in the prior two games. Right? Yeah. And they got straight reds. Right? There was no question about it. They got straight reds, which, you know, Sosa's been rescinded, and we all felt that Luit's was very harsh. But this one I felt was more harsh. At the very least, a bunker review yellow and let the TMO decide in his own time.
Sasha got very, very lucky there. That's for damn sure, Ronnie. I was very surprised he didn't end up with at the very least a yellow review. That was an absolute scrum demolition game. And, you know, we talked the last 2 weeks about Buon Fenta being pulled off the pitch early by Rossi in both fixtures. You know, he's been struggling. Here I thought, okay, he's going to be facing up with Tad Furlong. He's going to have his work cut out from him. But Buon did very well in the scrums in that first half. What did you think?
Agreed. He played very well. He was very, very strong. I think, well, he's always been strong. We've known this. I've always been a little bit surprised when Rossi has taken him off. I don't know what about his scrummaging or his gameplay he is lacking in and why he keeps getting pulled so early. Of course, his experience versus inexperience, right? But I see his overall game to be very good and deserving of enough time on the field. So it was nice to see him get his chance now against Ireland. And like you say, he dominated in the scrum. Every single one of our front rowers did so.
No, absolutely, Ronnie. He really had a good performance. What did you make then in the 41st minute before the halftime break? We get a scrum penalty and on Rossi sends Gerard Steenkamp and Vilku Loh. Boom, we generate a penalty. Next one, boom, penalty try.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder whether I understand the rationale behind sending team on for just a single play before halftime like that. I don't know. Look, they are fresh and it's probably not going to tire them out at all, and they'll come back after halftime fresh again. So I don't know. Maybe it's just the instruction is at the next break and play, send these players on, and that just so happened to be right before halftime. I don't know. But it is nice to see, though. I love it. When a team like that comes on, they do a big shove, win us a very important penalty. It's nice.
Yeah, so I mean, on the one hand, I think it's coaching genius from Rossi, because he'll likely have said, you know what, this is what we can achieve by bringing these guys on now, so let's do that. But in the other breath, when they came on, I was like, okay, why would Rossi be doing something like this? And then I thought to myself, well, this game's been dominated in the forwards. The scrums have been huge in it. Now you put these guys on, let them get one scrum, then come in for half time, and you can actually have a chat amongst the front rows about what's going right and you know what to keep up in the second half. They're a little bit warm. But yeah, it proved hugely effective because it got us a penalty try.
Irrespective of why he does it, I think I love it. I think just like I'm a little bit unsure about it and in the gray and asking why, and really curious about it, I think the opposition teams also haven't been able to figure out why he does that.
Yeah, no, but incredible win from the Boca, Ronnie. Malcolm Marx getting man of the match. Did it come down to this for the higher awards, Ronnie? If Peter Stafford got man of the match or Ox wasn't playing, you know, was that where it was decided?
Well, Beal Barre was playing and I thought he scored a fantastic try in against Australia, which was also a fantastic game. But yeah, it wasn't to be for Beal Barre. I thought Malcolm played very well. I was really hoping that Ox would get it still. But yeah, I don't think the man of the match performance or this game had any influence whatsoever.
Fair enough. We'll never know the answer to that one. Ronnie, France 48, Wallabies 33 then. In Paris, that was another late evening game. 12 tries scored in that one, 7 for the Les Bleus and 5 for the Wallabies. Did you catch this one?
Yeah, for sure. Beal Barre, like I said, fantastic try that I saw from him. I thought that the Wallabies put up a great fight for large portions of that game. But, you know, France just sees the couple more, the handful of opportunities that they had more than the Wallabies. And deserving winners, right, France? Well done.
Absolutely deserved winners in that one. Beal Barre, like you said, scored a try. He actually scored 2. He's a fantastic winner and was definitely in with a shout for a World Player of the Year. But Ronnie, this is the Wallabies' first winless tour of the North since 1958, and it's their 10th loss of the year this year. I think maybe we upraised the Wallabies a little too much earlier in the season. And, you know, we thought they were on the rise and really building something after they beat us at Ellis Park. But it just seems to have been a horror show from there on out.
Yeah, I don't really know what to make of this. I'm very, very disappointed. You know, I had high hopes for Australia, considering their win over South Africa earlier this year in Ellis Park. You know, so they've put on some good performances in the Rugby Championship. And then it just, I don't know. I don't know what happened after that. It just went downhill, and it went downhill very quickly. And it's a shame because Joe Schmidt's last game. You know, now Les Kiss takes on the job. So I don't know where this leaves the Australians. I would have liked to have seen Joe Schmidt stay on at least till the World Cup. This is bad for them.
Well, at the very least, it gives Les Kiss less pressure when he starts out coaching them now after the back of this season. Because had they had a good solid run through the North, you know, would have come in and had to maintain those standards. So let's see what holds 2026 for the Wallabies, Ronnie. Italy, 34 points to 19 win over Chile. I think that was much expected. I didn't maybe expect a bigger scoreline. And then Sunday's fixtures, Ronnie. Scotland getting a 56-0 point win over Tonga. For me, who is scheduling Scotland's games? Because they get this 86-0 over the USA, 56-0 over Tonga. What is their team learning from that?
Yeah, I also don't. But look, we said it, I think we said it last year, maybe the year before, that Scotland was a tier two nation playing tier one rugby. But that's not true, right? Scotland is better. Scotland deserves better. They deserve better opposition. You know, potentially the Springboks should have played them this year. Scotland should have had a run in against, they should have had more tier one nation opposition.
Yeah, I think it's a disappointing November for Scotland with the opposition they faced. I don't think it would have helped improve their team at all, Ronnie, that's for sure. And then Twickenham, England capped off an unbeaten year. I think this is their 11th win on the trot, Ronnie. 27 points to 23 over Los Pumas, 3-2.
Yeah, so England's a strong side. We know that the Los Pumas, they also put a couple of commanding performances on earlier this year. They've been consistently inconsistent as per consistently usual. But yeah, it wasn't to be. England coming away with the win. England playing really good rugby. And I think some of those English fans reckon they could beat the Springboks if we played tomorrow. So yeah, well done to England.
Yeah, I think George Ford really stood up this November and proved his worth in Steve Borthwick's setup. Hugely experienced player, but now he's starting to make that 10 jersey his own, it would seem. Class kicking performance again this weekend, Ronnie. Argentina almost came back, though, in that second half like they did against Scotland. So that'll be a big work on for Felipe Contempomian team is how do we get the boys firing from the first half and not leaving it till the closing stages of the game to chase a huge scoreline? Ronnie, then over to the Autumn Nations preview. It's the last fixture of that. It's the Springboks versus Wales in Cardiff. That's going to be a big game for the Boca. I'm curious to see who's all available because This one falls outside of the international window, so players not playing in South Africa or Japan are not eligible. And I do believe that SA Rugby is having to fork out 250K per player from the URC franchises and to have them available for this fixture.
Reapers, that's a lot of money. I know Marnie's out, so it was just Polly and Sasha are our choice fly-offs, but whether they have to go back as well, I don't know. I know Marnie has to go to Japan. A couple of other players, Ak Vietney, I will see. This will be a very interesting team, which makes the prediction for next week very tricky.
It certainly does. It definitely does. But you've also got to look here. Wales probably have 14 players from this weekend that aren't eligible to play. The likes of Zamat won't be available for them. This game is really going to harm Wales, I feel, because they're going to have to pull players out of their URC sides to fill this fixture up, to take on the box again. They're not likely to win, whilst now weakening their URC sides who have to compete this weekend because the URC is also returning. I think it's a double blow to the Welsh.
As far as I understand, when it comes to the Premiership, right, which some of these players play in, the Premiership is a non-negotiable. They have to return.
Yeah, all the guys in the Prem won't be available this weekend. It's really, really unfortunate for Wales. I think this is a game just too far. But on that note, Ronnie, the IRC is back. And as you guys know, Ronnie and I are working with the IRC this year to bring you all their latest content. You guys will find that with us under the hashtag URCGo. But Ronnie, Bulls versus Lions, Jakske Derby, who's taking that one?
Bulls.
Oh, bold call. 2 o'clock kickoff at Loftus. I think that's going to be an excellent game. Then the Stormers are currently overseas. They take on Munster at Thomond Park. 7:30 kickoff. Who's got that one?
Munster.
Okay. It's the two undefeated sides in the URC at the moment. So that's one hell of a fixture. They won't have their Springboks back, though, the Stormers. Jean Klein likely to be back with Munster, though. And then Connacht hosting the Sharks. 21:45 kickoff on Saturday. Who's taking that one, Ronnie?
I'm not answering. I'm not falling for this one. Who do you think is going to win?
Connacht. Not even going to fight you on that one, Ronnie. Should we end off then with the May Fokchom moment of the week? I'll let you tell everyone who it is, Ronnie.
It's Malcolm Marks as the World Player of the Year. Fantastic. And also nice to see Victor Matfield also awarding it to him at the end of the game. So well done, Malcolm Marks. In addition to Man of the Match or Player of the Match, he also gets World Player of the Year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done to Malcolm in the middle, Marks. You honestly deserve it. You've had a stellar year. And we called him out in the first few games of the year, having a slow start. He wasn't throwing well at the lineouts, and we partially blamed him for the malfunctions in that area. But here he's had a huge comeback, put in the work. Remember, he took it on himself. He said, I have to be better for this team. And well, Malcolm, you were better for everyone. Well done.
Like a buddy.
That's it for this week on the Rugby Pundit. If you enjoyed the episode, smash that like button, subscribe, and join us again next week for more rugby insights, banter, and just the right amount of cheers. If you really want to be a chom though, join us on Patreon for as little as 40 Rand. You'll get exclusive content, shoutouts on the pod, merch discounts, all whilst helping us go the full 80 every week. And of course, don't forget to jump on Super Brew so we can see who's topping the log and who's destined for that wooden spoon.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.